Go ahead.
Most righteous eternal Father, I want to thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you that we're all gathered here for this hour of prayer and discussion. I pray you have your own sweet way in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Good evening, everyone. Welcome. And I must apologize for the person who was supposed to come in there. They had an emergency and I only learned about it last night. And I couldn't get cover. So, you know, to have somebody else to do it. I knew what my day would be like, but I apologize. That's it. Let's get on with it now. I want to ask a question. A lot of us will read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A lot of us, we know that by heart, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then, my little children, I write unto you, sin not, but if you sin, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I'm asking, how does the two things combine? Because here is God saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But he goes back and he says, my little children, I write unto you, sin not. But if you sin, you have an advocate. You have somebody to stand up for you. You have somebody to protect you. How do you see both texts? Before I get into what I'm talking about. Anybody? Because one of them is saying he loves us, that he once we believe, we are secured and we are covered. Then the other one is saying, I write unto you, so sin not, but if you sin, just in case you do, you have a right, you have a cover in me. You are Jesus Christ the righteous. That's what that is actually saying, you know. He's saying to us as human beings, I love you endlessly. There's no reason or there's no condition why I have to love you. I just love you. And he's even saying to you, I am going to show you how merciful I am in my love towards you. That in case you go wrong, you shouldn't go wrong. Try not to go wrong. Do your best to walk with me and don't go wrong. But if you go wrong, you still have me to come back to. I am still here waiting. Isn't that powerful? Hello?
Hello? It just goes to show how unselfish he is, isn't it? He's very, God is definitely selfless. Selfless.
It goes to show you how unselfish he is. It goes to show you how committed he is. It goes to show you how much love he has for us. Some of us, we're not going to put up with even our own children giving us too much grief. Less much other people. So take the children out of it and the family. Other people give too much grief. You cut them off, you're done with them. Mm-hmm. You do it one time, you do it two times, you'll not get away the third or fourth time. You won't get away the third or fourth time. But with Christ, he doesn't mark the time like we mark it. And then my next question is, because that is so, then is it right then for us to just live as we wish?
No.
Because a lot of us will say, well, since God is going to take care of it, I can do what I want to do. But that's wrong. Because even in that law, he's going to destroy everyone who does not walk according to the will of God. Because he does not want us to repeat that same behavior. Sin, in the word, it says sin will not enter a second time. And if we believe the word, we know that he's serious about that. He said, right now, if you sin, you have an advocate. But remember, there comes a time when this runs out, when this advocate is gone, when there will be no legal challenges that I'm going to hold up for you. And sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we think, oh, why is it like that? But God is saying, out of love, I will have to destroy what is going to destroy you. So if you decide to walk away from the thing that will destroy you, he's going to protect you. But in order for that not to come back into the new Jerusalem, he's going to have to destroy this earth and whosoever choose to be with him. Do we agree?
Yes. There is a condition.
I'm on the road, so that's what he's trying to say. So that is what he's saying. He's saying, I understand that I have to be merciful. I understand that I have to give you grace and all of that. But you must understand as a human being that when you've been given enough grace, enough that, then I'm going to have to cut you off. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to take a step, a stand that you won't like.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is hard to work with. Because a lot of people say, how can a God that say he loves us be like this? But then, you want to ask, For 50 years, he has been protecting, keeping, giving me everything I want. And I'm still ungrateful. I'm still not acknowledging. I'm still living for the devil. How long do I expect you to put up with that? And I'm not saying that is what I'm doing. I'm just saying, you know, this is what human race is like. We get all the blessing, we get all the grace, but we still go back and do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we expect him to always accept that we are human beings. And some people even use the situation to say, oh, it's only because I'm human. God knows I'm human. But does that say that you have the right to do what you're doing?
No.
Because he says, you know, seek ye first in the word. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all things shall be added. He didn't say, do what you please, do as you care, and do as you like, and then all things shall be added. You notice that? There are conditions to some of what we are given by him. Even when he gives it freely, but there are conditions. Now, your children, those of us who have children, our child will say they want X or Y. You give your child everything that is your chance that they need because of love, because it's your child. But if your child comes and says, oh, I need that, or I want that, you're not going to get up and take up 50 pounds, give him to that, to walk up and down the street. Tomorrow, you come back, you want another 50 pounds, you give it to him, to go walk up and down the street. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But that's how we do God. We go to God. And when I say God, I mean God. So that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we say, Lord, I want another day of life. And he gives it to us. Lord, I'm sorry that this is over. I'm hungry. I need money. And he gives it to us. Lord, I need a job. And he gives it to us. But we never count back that blessing to return it to God. And now you might ask me, how do I return the blessing to God? I can't even see. I don't know where he is. Well, how do you return blessings to God? You return blessings to God when you care for the man you can see next to you. When you look out for that old lady. When you look out for that child. When you look out for yourself. Now, you say yourself. Why yourself? But God expects you to treat yourself a certain way. He said you're a royal priesthood. You're not just anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just Donna. You're done, especially marked by God. You're not just Sister Elizabeth. You're Sister Elizabeth, especially marked by God. But when you disregard that, what happens? You are saying to God, I don't care. You're not great enough to take care of me. And you notice everything in life patterns the Bible. Anybody ever notice that?
Yeah.
Everything in life patterns the Bible. I'll show you why I said it. Mm-hmm. If you look at the law, if I go and kill somebody and I say, oh, I killed him, and they saw me kill him, what happened to me?
Thrown to jail.
They don't put me in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the Bible said, thou shalt not kill. So I kill somebody, they don't put me in jail. And if it was in the older day, they would hang me. Or if it's in America, they would put me in a strict chair. They'll kill me again. Kill me back because I killed somebody. The word of God said, thou shalt not kill.
Mm-hmm.
Go back again. The law says, okay, if you see somebody sing and you go and take it,
commit
them to take it from them, then you steal it. And before you can steal somebody's thing, you have to be covetous of it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if you understand that. You don't just see something that I'm going to steal it. You go and say, well, that man have a knife watching. You keep down and take it. Or I'm going to pick him up, or I'm going to pull him down and take it. The reason why you do that is because you commit the fact that the man had a nice watch.
Mm-hmm.
You pass 100 other people with paper watch and paper man, and you don't want those. And you're not committed to those. Those don't catch your eye. Those don't. And this is what we don't realize, that our life is fully patterned by the Bible. And the Bible set the principle for every law that we have in this country and in this world, even when it's Eden people believing. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll go back. All right. Let's go to a simpler thing. You go and you say to this person, I don't like your sexuality. That's why I want to have a better word. The person takes you to court, you know. Why? Because you are discriminating against him.
Yes. But then
the law will tell you that you can't discriminate against somebody who is specifically choosing to be with a man to a man or a woman to a woman. But they can discriminate against us. They can discriminate against a man who saying, I'm not in your corner. I'd rather a man and a woman, a man and a woman. You know why I say they can discriminate against us? Because the law says in this time, when things have changed, times and laws, that's what the Bible says, no. And this is what we're seeing happening now. The times and the laws have been changed so that a man can tell a next, tell you, tell them love a next man, and you can't say, go move out of the space. Unless you're going to talk to the court and you lose your job over it. And you get all sorts of problem over it. But is that the way the Bible says it should go? The Bible did say it would go like that, but that's not the way God ordained it to be. Now, is that the way the Bible says it should go? Yes. Is that the way it was ordained to be? No. You see the difference? The word already tell you that it would go like this, but it never said it was ordained like this. And that is what people don't understand. That is what people don't understand. And we fail to realize that we are having such a merciful, such a loving and kind Father. But we take it for granted. We take everything for granted. Yes? Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Okay. I thought somebody was saying something. We take everything for granted. And when we take things for granted, we still do not expect. We want everything for ourselves, but we don't want anything for the next person. But I said before that we should look at being taking care of ourselves as well. So if we treat ourselves well, then that's how we'll treat the next person, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
All right. No, they don't seem to agree with me on that one. But I believe so. I believe if you treat yourself well, the standard you treat yourself at, that's how you're going to want your friends to be. That's how you're going to want to see the next person that comes beside you to be. You want people to for one of the words, fit in that circle. You want people to look like to have the same privileges you have. Worse than you're a child of God, you want people to be like you. You want people to have the same mindset if possible. You want people to come up. You want to help elevate people.
Yeah.
If you fail to live like that, then you're saying to the Lord, what you've given me is not good enough for me to share with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
The principle and standard you want me to keep up is not good enough for us to share with somebody else. And that is why we go contrary to the word of God a lot of times. Well, remember, we started off by saying, for God so loved the world that he gave. You were first, though. Mm-hmm. Nobody held a gun to it that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth, he didn't say everybody going to do it now. He said you have to fund the condition on which you get to all the rest of this blessing is whosoever believes in him should not perish, but will have everlasting life. Perish don't mean we won't die here. We won't ill health here. That's not the perish he's talking about. He's talking about eternal perish.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about never, when this time comes, it fully ends and he endures that full stop. You will be one of those who is on the other side saying, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Amen. You would be one of those saying that. And the only reason why that is going to be so is because he has made it so. It's because you have accepted, you have followed, you have been covered by him, and even where your righteousness is like this, he has decided to endorse and cover that. You see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So we can say what we want to say, we can be what we want to be, but we have conditions in this. To be and one of the key conditions is, sorry about that. One of the key conditions is one, we have to believe and accept that. And when I always tell people I don't believe in God enough, people think, what are you talking about? It's just over there, so you think I'm crazy when I say I don't believe in God. Well, Sister Elizabeth, what do you have to say about that? When I say I don't believe in God,
you're joking.
No, I'm not joking. I'm serious. I used to believe in God. Yeah, I'm serious. Listen. I tell you why I'm serious. I used to believe in God when I did not know God. I used to believe in God when I heard about God. But the fact that I don't know God, it's not that I believe. It's past that. You used to believe that Wilma is going to get married to me. Now you know that Wilma is married to me. Is it that you believe that she's going to get married to me? Or you now know that she's married to me? Don't you know that whatever it is, Wilma is married to me.
I know that.
And I know that as well. But when I say I believe in something, you can believe that I can drive. I don't know. How much have you ever seen me drive? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe none of you. One or two people might see me when I move up a few vehicles around the back. But I can drive. But you only believe that now because you never see me drive. But anybody used to be getting a car and a drive and even driving you somewhere, you will then say, I now know how it can drive. Before I believe he could, but I now know. So you have moved from the stage of just believing to knowing.
And
when you move to the stage where you have moved from believing to knowing, there should be no doubt, there should be no doctrine, there should be nobody who can come and take your crown from you, because you're not doing it today. I believe that I might get it. I know I will get it. It's a big difference, you know?
Amen.
It's a really big difference when you say, when you can rest assured to say, yes, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not doubting, but when I will now go back and clarify the word belief. Belief can be just an understanding or an acceptance that you think that the person is able to. You can also say, although the person did it and you see it, you can say, yeah, I believe he can drive, but there's still more to go. And that is where the Christian world comes in. We all believe in Jesus Christ. We all believe that God is the Father. We all believe that the Holy Spirit is poured out and sent to the earth to help us get into the kingdom, to help us to learn more about Christ, to bring our little feeble prayers up to God, to help to protect us when we're walking on the street and the car was going to come and bolt us. They put something in the way to straighten it out. All of that is what the Holy Spirit do. And we accept and believe that. But we also know from the experiences, from how he takes us through different issues, different problems, different difficulties, we know that God can do it. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
Isn't that so? That's what I mean when I say I don't know. I used to believe. No, I know. No, I said when I talk to somebody, I don't talk to somebody about, you know, I believe that maybe the praise of God. But, hello.
I know.
Yeah,
right.
And I know that when you pray to him, you don't dictate the answer, but he gives you three answers. Yes, no, and wait. He has to fall in one of those three. And you know why? He would say no. And no matter what you do, even to get it, something goes wrong while you don't get it. And you even get it and it's not right. It is not right because God did not approve it. And sometimes he says yes. And before you finish prayer, so boy, Lord, you know, I need that. Somebody knocked the door. Donna, you know, I have this over the house and we did do that. And we said, whoa, you know, God, look how good he is. I wanted that same thing and the person bring it and give it to me because they're not using it.
Oh,
yes. Them bring it, come give you. It was God impressed their mind to go bring it, come give you, because you had asked him.
Yes.
And he's answering your prayer right away. Yes. You get it? When we get up every morning, God answered that yes prayer for us, for protection throughout the night, you know. We don't see it as a yes prayer, but God answered that yes prayer. Lord, when you went, I don't know, well, when I go to my bed, I have a little devotion and I have a little prayer. And I say, Lord, can you protect me? I'll ask you to cover me throughout the day, keep away the currents of death. But I said, if it's not your will, then make, Lord, I'm asking to fix my life in order so that I will make it into the kingdom. So I'm asking him on two sides because I don't know what will come. But when I get up in the morning, I know he answered that prayer to say he's going to keep me another day. That's a yes prayer. So we're getting it? God's mercy is so extensive that we can't decide, and we can't even go through and decide properly how merciful God is. So when we think this is mercy, gives us much more.
Mm-hmm.
When we think, oh, this is the goodness of God, him stepping the gap and give us a bigger thing that we say, whoa, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at the same time, he sometimes says, no. He looks down into the road and he sees what your heart is, and he says, no, I'm not going to give that to you now. You're not getting that. If you get that, that's going to destroy you. A lot of us, you see, if we were wealthy, God would know us, and we would know God. You know it because he's never going to forget us. So we'll know him. We'll be so wealthy that all we can think about is the money, so God don't bless us with them kind of thing. But you know what he blesses us with? Health and strength and the ability to walk up and down and talk. And you say, what kind of blessing is that? That's a rich blessing. Because if you were wealthy, you maybe would have gone into drugs, you maybe would have done something else. You may well turn 80, so maybe they've gone into something where you know that you wouldn't be safe from. But he knows what the future is for you as well, and so he gives you the opportunity. Does that mean that you cannot say no still? You can say no, and he will respect that. So God answers us, yes, for the immediate prayer that, Lord, protect me, Lord, do this, your Lord. Every time we pray that and we see, we go through a day and come back, that is protection.
Amen.
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 No.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened there. I was saying to us all that when we ask him to watch over us throughout the night and we get up the next morning and able to do one, that's a yes, sir. That's a prime thing. Yes, I've answered you.
Mm-hmm.
I've answered you. You're good. I will take care of that. When you get up and you say, Lord, give me the extra strength to go out and do work, and you get the extra strength to go out and do work, even if you're feeling a little bit low during the day, that's a yes prayer. Because you could have get up and can't move from your bed. But we don't see those as yes prayer. You know what we see as yes prayer? I want a car, God, and I want a car that time, and he gives it to us, and we say, yeah, that's a yes prayer. Sometimes we ask for things, and he says, no, wait. Sometimes we make our own choices, and in see where that was going to lead, and he says, no, we're not going to grant that neither. Is it that he's not listening? He's listening. And he's doing the best for us, that we don't know that it's good for us anyway. So I'm just saying, as we go through the rest of the evening and the rest of the night, let us remember the mercies that God has given us. Let us remember that for us, we will jump and say this and say that, but God in himself says, I will protect you. I will watch over you. And even mm-hmm. when you go contrary to what I'm saying, my little children, I write unto you, sin not. What if you sin? You can still come back and talk to me. Don't stay there and wallow in it. Get up and come and talk to me about it, and I will fix it. That's what God is saying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what God is saying. Don't just sit there and grumble, no, I'll do this, I can't get over it. Ask him every day. Pray to be an overcomer. And watch and see if he doesn't allow you to be an overcomer.
Yeah.
But pray also for humility. Pray for humbleness. Pray for understanding. Pray for discernment of his word. Pray for interest in his word. Can you say the more you're interested in the word of God, the more it becomes real to you, and after a while, you can't survive without it. Yeah? And as I said, the ending of me saying, I don't believe in God. It's not that I don't believe that there's a God. It's not that I don't believe that the existence of God. But I now know that there's a God. I now know the existence of God. And every day, for the 55, 56 years I've been living, I know the existence of God.
Mm-hmm.
I never used to acknowledge it at one point. And even now, sometimes I still deny what I know is true because I don't know what I should do when I should do. You know something? I don't need that down to all the final time human. I ask God to interchange, make that a growth, help me to find a way to be an overcomer. So as we close tonight, I'm just asking that we look at this and see that things that we take for granted, or yes prayers are answered every day, every hour, every minute, or yes prayers are answered. Even if we're feeling sick, we're still alive, or yes prayers are answered. Or wait prayers are some of them to wait and wait. You might feel like a pain there, so don't rush to get rid of it. Because pain is a part of life, but guess what I'm... When you rush to get rid of it, all sorts of medication, they create more pain and more side effects later on when you can't deal with. So just accept that half a way. Pray, and I'm going to wait on him to make a change in it. And then, sometimes we have to think, don't worry if you don't get it. Because they just said no. And tonight, we're talking about God's mercy. Extensive mercy of God. And we need to realize that God's mercy will always be extensive, but it will not always be constantly eternal. And people might wonder, why are you saying that? Because we'll die one day. Or one day the earth will come to its end and God will put his appearance. Or one day we might not have the faculties to remember what we were all of this. And we pray that we do have all of that faculty. And we pray that even if we die within righteousness. But it's not eternal for the human race as it is now. It will become eternal after the coming of Christ. But right now, everything is based on a condition. And we one day will have to give account. And when we die, that's our account. Wherever we stop there, so that's what it is. And I'm not preaching that. I'm preaching that we have to be positively aware that God is answering our yes prayers. God is saying, I am there. And we have to move from just believing, but knowing and accepting that because we know that he can do it, he will do it. You know? Pray accepting. Pray believing and accepting that God will answer your prayer the way he sees fit. I'm going to ask that somebody does a closing prayer for us, and I shall go at that time. Anyone?
Our sovereign God and Father in heaven, you're the one who loves us unconditionally. You know us better than we know ourselves. May glory be to your name always. This evening we come to you, Father, for we know that you are our God and our Father.
Amen.
You are sustainer. You are our redeemer. So we know you. It's not that we believe or we think. We know that you are. So we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us throughout the day. You have given us life. You have given us health. Since this morning alone, so many people have died, over 900, but we are still in the land of the living. Lord, what can we say but just give you the praise that you deserve? Glorify your name, we glorify your name. Help us to be strong in you. Help us to believe in you always. We thank you for Brother Howard, that though he's still working, still on the way, he has not even reached his home, but he has taken these few minutes to be with us and give us your word that is good for us. As we go to sleep this evening, may we remember that you are our God and you will always be with us. May you continue to protect Brother Howard on the way. If we hear later on that he arrived home safely, Lord, we just want to give you praise.
Amen.
Everybody who is here this evening, may you bless every family represented here, even those who could not make it this evening, Lord. May you be with us. May your protection be over us. May you be with us always, according to your mercy, according to your grace. We thank you, we praise you, because we ask all this, believing and trusting, with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.